Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you for spending some time with us during the program today. Back with us, an old friend, a frequent guest, Robert Maxim, born in Cuba, moved to the U.S., grew up in California. Now, after studying music, science, and religion, he devoted his life to writing about sleep time visits to other worlds, alien craft encounters, highlighting life's true virtues and purpose. In 2014, he published the first in a series of five legacy episodes, The Search for Love, followed by The Unholy Menace. His books have earned industry acclaim, making frequent appearances in news, radio, book fairs, conventions all across the country, and he's back with us to take your questions on today's program. Robert Walpagan, welcome back to the program. It is always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me on board.
I'm so excited. We got to get started right away. We have so many questions that came in from the radio, from iTunes, from Google Play, from YouTube as well, a video there. If you go to the website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on and go to the archives and listen and watch all of our programs with Robert. And got a bunch to get through, a long program today. It's going to go by quickly, but a little longer, so we have more time to get to your questions. This first one, let's jump into it right away. I enjoy listening to your broadcast. Then again, I also enjoy fiction. Great stories, but that's all they are, stories. Can't believe anyone really buys this as truth. He basically thinks we're a science fiction program that we're talking about here. Robert, how do you say to somebody who's I would put in the skeptic category?
Well, I'm glad the listener enjoyed the book, and more is coming. but they are more than just a story. Legacy is indeed a sci-fi novel, but it's based on a true story whose details are both autobiographical as well as scientific. I chose to write Legacy as a parable in order to be able to describe universal law and behavior. But the concepts, the visions, and the people in the story are very real, and they are confirmed by other people. I personally don't like pseudoscience, not one bit. I am a scientist, or staying within my own safety net. I always like to expand and learn more, but that means I have to confirm. An example of extraordinary pseudoscientists in my book are the flat earthers. And I'll use them, no due insult here. I'll use them as an example.
Yes.
In spite of NASA and amateur high atmospheric photography, including that of little kids have sent balloons up there with cameras just to see how you see things from up there. In spite of that, flatters insist that the Earth is flat. That's hard to believe. But people will stubbornly stick to the strangest beliefs, even with evidence knocking right at their door. So try looking at Legacy's references, and you'll see just what's there. I'd like to give you a little story, though. My dad was born in a humble Cuban fishing village. He once told me, way back then, when the first radio showed up, in the early 20s, he was basically 10 years old at the time. People did not believe that the voice traveled through the air and dropped into the radio. They thought it was all a hoax, and inside of this radio box, which back then almost looked like as big as a refrigerator.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, it was a little guy crammed inside the radio box. And some went as far as to tear it apart, looking for that little guy.
Wow.
You know, they had a club on his hand. You know, I'm going to show you how, you know, don't mess with me.
Yes, exactly.
They wondered at first why anyone really bought the voice over air concept as truth, but seeing is believing. Now, I review many testimonials and videos every day, and I must say, along with what the listener said, there are many hoaxes and stories that are lacking evidence. So he's got a good point. So yes, do proceed with caution. Always ask for the Carfax, but don't dump what could be the greatest truth you ever came across just because you think it's a story. I'd love to talk to this listener about this and other listeners. Feel free to get in touch with me. That invitation goes out to all listeners. Don't be shy. Do reach out. Whether your intent is pleasant or not, I am not offended.
And there are several ways.
People with respect.
Well, yes, you do. And when people have questions that are somewhat antagonistic, you always deal with them, as you did that comment, in a very professional way. You can reach out to Robert. His website is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. You can also use the website unarianseunited.com. And our website, thisweekinamerica.us, there's a comments there. You can direct that to me, and I will forward that on to Robert. That's where we get most of the questions for the program. And if you ask specifically to get a hold of Robert, I'll be happy to pass that along. And it's interesting, and you always talk about that. It comes back to the Carfax. Don't accept something without looking into it. And you'll find it, and I know this in doing years' worth of programs with Robert, that you back up everything. If you go to the website, rgaetan.com, you've got a whole scientific tab there. So it's not just you're saying things you can't back up. You've got things, because you're skeptical. When you hear these things, you need to confirm them, right, before you go out there and follow them yourself and talk to other people about that.
That's right. Always say no to pseudoscience. Make sure you have the Carfax.
That keeps coming back to that. Check it out, and you'll get some good information. Here comes another letter, an interesting email. Reincarnation is New Age crap. Forgive my language, but I'm sick of people falling for this lie of Satan. I've spent my life in a Bible-based church, and it's clear what the Bible teaches. I refer you to Job 16:22 and Job 14:10-12. Honestly, I believe you'll be punished for encouraging belief in these false teachings. Please stop. So many things to talk about there. Go ahead and jump in, pick it up wherever you want. It's your question.
Oh, gosh, what's wrong with this poor soul? God's presence. God's presence is known and measured by the amount of confirmed truth and the holiness of that person's behavior, not noise and accusations. The old saying that when you point a finger, you have one pointing towards a person, but you have three coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget about the thumb. Whenever you accuse anyone, you have that thumb going up, and that's putting God on the spot for your lack of good behavior. No one, Rick, has the right to tell others what to believe, much less to go out and start cursing people. Well, what's so Christian about that? And besides, last time I checked, this was still America, I hope.
Yes.
So ironically, in those Job chapters 14 and 16, Job was begging to die and never to return back to this planet, because of people like this. That's what he means by death. Not ever waking up the body down here again. He was complaining about people that act like this. And that's why he just wanted to die and not return. You have to read the whole chapter or verses around the verse to know this. If you just concentrate on one verse, you can make of it anything. Okay?
Yes.
So something the listener apparently did not do. With all due respect now, did Jesus ever get sick of his brothers? Did he ever misrepresent Scripture? Did he follow a church or a man instead of God? Did he judge? Did he behave menacingly like this? I don't think so. Attacking others or their beliefs is a sign that the individual has not conquered the self, or much less learned God's true teachings.
Apparently, because in this person's mind, there is Satan, and this is the work of Satan, the work of the devil, and we all will be punished for falling to the work of the devil. Is there a Satan? Is there a devil, do you think?
Inside there is. Outside, no. People have to understand the meaning of that word, the accuser, the liar. So, hey, if I started accusing, what does that make me? I take it that this poor soul didn't care to review any of the facts that I've presented over time. Of course not. Otherwise, it would show. I have to get into the subject of pulpits, unfortunately, because today they spout, you know, a lot of what I call congested words. Only we have the truth. We have the complete message. Following us is following God. Go out and convert people so you can go to heaven. Repent and don't go to hell. Come on. How can you change yourself, much less others, if you don't know what God's true love and his true laws are? You know, unfortunately, these pulpits use God's words to fill pews, not to bring God to people's hearts. And it shows. Did Jesus ever do any of this? No, he did not. He was a very loving soul, and he accepted everyone as they were. Otherwise, that would be ego. Matter of fact, read Matthew 28:20. Okay? That's the commandment to go out and preach.
Right.
What it's talking about is to observe his commandments. It says it right there. Observe my commandments. And what are his commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and everything you got. Behave godly and know that God is within. What part of those commandments just went wrong with this soul's question? I'll leave it as homework. But I want to cover a little bit of background here. First of all, reincarnation is recorded worldwide as far back as the beginnings of time. It's not New Age. It's not. Second, it was Emperor Julian who wiped reincarnation off the map. And his order is still going on to this date, 1,500 years later. Third, let's look at Christian founders, including two generations from the Apostle Mark himself, supported reincarnation. Jesus supported reincarnation. The Essenes, the Pharisees, tons of Near East religions, European tribes all the way up to England and Scotland and Norway. Asians, Africans, Native American beliefs, and most of them wiped out by Julian's mandates. Fourth point, hate, fear, and brute force are tools that are forbidden by God, but accepted by, you know, that person you mentioned a while ago, Satan?
Yes.
So you got to tell me who you're with, and I'll tell you who you are. Fifth, Job abhors, in those chapters, any nagging, accusatory people that try to hurt others instead of cleaning up their own souls. And he calls it by a specific Hebrew word, which is tamei. Tamei means false or foul religion. So I don't think I need to take any of that further. I don't mean to insult anyone, but again, you have to check out the original. What does tamei mean? It's not talking about people. It's talking about what the people that were nagging him believed in, which was false. It was against God. Now, also consider, now talking about a dead body and the spirit going to heaven or whatever. Look, atoms are not solid particles at all. The body is not physical, but it's spiritual. So what and where could you possibly be at if not in spirit already? So think about it. Stop thinking in earth physical terms, and that way you will come to understand what God really means when he mentions the word soul. Also, I double dare the listener. I quadruple dare him or her. I'm sorry. I quintuply dare the listener to go stand in a synagogue in front of the same people that wrote the Old Testament, especially Job, and read it in the original language, and try making the statement to them. It's going to get torn up.
Interesting. So it comes back to, and that was a powerful explanation. And you, one of the things I think I take out of there is, don't start with the conclusion and then pick and choose scripture to try to verify that conclusion that you've come to. Look at scripture in totality. Don't pick and choose, and then arrive at a conclusion, which is obviously what you've done.
And you have to dig in really into the meaning of each word. Like tame, for example. Really, Rick, shame. Shame on anyone that makes their illiteracy problems and saint and sinful problems that of others, disregarding God's law or the art of self-objectivity. And then they try to steamroll people with fear, hate, and their own sin. That's not how God operates. But that's the way Job's foul religion does. That's exactly what he was complaining about. And it's ironic that this is what we hear from the question.
Yeah, that they're using those words to take the opposite, obviously, of the intention. Our guest on the program is Robert Maxim. That's M-A-X-X-I-M. The book series is called Legacy. You can find information, of course, at Amazon on that. You can link on directly to that link and then Robert's website by going to oursthisweekinamerica.us. Robert is rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N.com. Taking questions from viewers, and we encourage yours. Just get a hold of us through our respective websites, and we'll be happy to get to those eventually on the air. Not sure when, because we have so many. Here's another one interesting. I use drugs to have visions. What's wrong with getting a little help or learning by trying? Their visions are self-induced, pharmaceutically induced, I guess you would say.
Okay, so where did a flask make an improvement over your own spirit?
Interesting perspective, yes. Yes.
You know, I say this. If you feel you must try, then it's because you don't know. And if you know, then you know you must not try. So a person apparently doesn't know what drugs are, what visions are, or even what the mission of learning is. Drugs, number one, are a crutch. You don't need them. Just train your mind instead. Drugs are really an escape mechanism. And they close the door on your higher self and promote lower pleasure centers, inviting lower forms of thought into your mind, hurting the body and inflating the ego. Oh, look, I just had a vision of lights and what have you. How do you know that was really a vision and not something going awkward in your own consciousness?
Yes, exactly.
Or some sort of an astral force coming in and doing what astrals do. Only the higher self can provide you answers and visions. Drugs violate your conditioning from in between lives. Even hypnosis and some forms of meditation, I'm not saying all of them, but some can block the higher self because it should be the loudest voice in you. You should not shut that voice up. If it isn't the loudest voice, then go figure out what is controlling you. That means you're not the boss. The higher self is the boss. And objectifying is the key to listening to the higher self and getting visions when you are ready for them and supposed to.
Good answer. And we do appreciate the question, even if the answer may not be the one you want. We do appreciate your question and do keep them coming in. New question. If we're saved by faith, not deeds, what role does reincarnation play in salvation, if any? Good question.
Great question. It's one of my favorites. The problem here starts with the word faith, and I'm glad the question started with the word faith. Greek faith means saved without really knowing, trying, in many ways clueless to infinity around you. You don't have to know much. That's not how God works. God is all about knowledge and understanding. True faith is devotion to and respect for God and universal law because you have learned them. Obviously, if you care for your environment, it will care back for you. Thus, if you care for laws, they will serve you by the laws of regeneration. Reincarnation provides that mechanism to master that principle. Deeds are personal actions that serve as evolutionary lessons that are carried out by acquired knowledge and change in each particular lifetime, with faith being an understanding, not a lack of understanding, and deeds being life's homework. Reincarnation is that cyclic process to learn from both. I hope that helps.
Yes. And again, Robert Maxim, our guest, answering your questions. And if you hear an answer and you want a little further elaboration on that, you can email back and Robert would be happy to talk with you or express your thoughts in an email and we will do a follow-up on a future program. Email, why does mainstream Christianity still strongly deny reincarnation? It is supported in numerous places in the Old and New Testament. So we still come back to this battle Christianity and reincarnation. Why do mainstream Christianity groups still, in many cases, deny reincarnation?
Oh, you know, the listener is spot on. It goes back to Julian 1,500 years ago, and even a little bit further, 1,700 years ago, to Constantine, the search for and destruction of the local religions in the area. Those religions were based on reincarnation, and they had to destroy them. They had to take over. Now, people take the easy route, really, by trusting other people's words and other man's word rather than doing the research themselves, original manuscript, the proof. While people have the right to follow their own path and take the easy path if they want to, and I respect that, if they only knew the level of cover-up and alteration that went into these translations over time, and I'm trying to be very nice and very respectful here, changes were significant, people, and they continue to happen to date in an endless downward spiral of reinterpretation and retranslations that contort the original message beyond recognition. Just listen to the question we had a few minutes ago.
Yes.
That's a result of that. It's not teaching what God really wanted you to learn. So don't go purchase belief from strangers. Go get it yourself. I just wrote a research website page called Reincarnation. I think you were referring to it a few minutes ago, Rick. Reincarnation, the evidence. It's under the science tab, and it will answer this question fairly well. I suggest people go look at it, and it will cut down a lot of personal research time. One thing that I dug up is back in 2009, 24% of Christians believed in reincarnation, 24%. In 1981, when the audit was done, 31% of Catholics, just Catholics themselves, did. Now, the Unity Church and other churches teach reincarnation. Constantine wanted a state religion, reincarnation just had to go. Justinian drove the final nail into reincarnation, starting a chain reaction that killed and burnt countless people and documents all the way to America. Millions of Native Americans were killed in America alone, folks. And how many more in Europe? Think about the Crusades against Islam. Think about the Inquisition. Saint Jerome and Eusebius were witnesses, and they write it. They were witnesses to manuscript rewording. Read about that. Aim to change the original teachings of Jesus. Is that shocking?
Yeah, I was taking a minute to let that absorb and play it back in my mind and make sure I heard that correctly. This is some of the great information you'll find at the website. And again, research is the key to so much. Robert's website is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and it has a science tab there, which tells you something about the depth of research and knowledge that Robert puts into what we talk about on these programs. Question from a listener, and we've talked about this before, I mentioned it in the beginning. You said your vision started when you were a child. is it common for children to receive these visions?
Oh, but of course. That's what we mostly see when we're young, visions, until we get exposed to the make-believe wrap of our world, like stories, television, cell phones, games, not to mention worldly infliction. You know, by then, we've been retooled, retuned to only see what surrounds us. So definitely, the time to receive visions in its clearest state is when we're children, before we're contaminated.
A child, we often think, does have visions, visions of their world, their perspective. And when they say to an adult, basically talking about a vision they have, there's probably a tendency on the part of adults to go, that's just a vivid imagination because he's 6 years old and that's what his mind does when you're 6 years old. What do you do as a parent to maybe take that a step further, see if in fact there was a vision, and to encourage that?
Well, we need to be open with our children. We need to make sure that they have everything they need to trust and to self-analyze themselves. That is critical because we all have dreams also, and dreams can be misleading. So we have to learn to differ between what could be a random dream, which does happen, and it's influenced by daily activities. But then you have the past that does come in, and it gives you information on past lives. Many children, myself included, I had a lot of past recalls just walking down the street when I was little, especially when I was four. I had all sorts of them. There are children that perform instruments at a very early age. I'm talking 2-3 years old.
Yes.
You know, where did they get that from? You know, don't hamper it. My parents tried to hamper that ability when I was little. I said, you're too small to express musically. They had this belief that boys should not play piano. That's not manly of them. And they hampered that for many years. So there you have it. It's really the parent and the world that puts the lid on the visionary capability of children. And we should take every precaution not to do that. Let's not be responsible for that soul's evolutionary problems by doing that.
So listen to the child. Just don't discount a very vivid imagination, or they saw something on television a couple of weeks ago and they're reliving that in their minds. Listen, interpret, and go from there. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. Information, and I keep mentioning that, so if you're just joining us, you'll know who we're talking to, Maxxim. Go to the website, rgaetan.com, gaetan.com, unarianseunited.com, another excellent website. And you can link both of those by going to our website. Question, and this is interesting, and back to the religious theme we started the program on today. Do you believe that heaven and hell actually exist?
Oh, absolutely. I think this world fits hell's description rather nicely.
Yeah. I think that at times, yes, exactly.
Well, all kidding aside, yes, there are celestial kingdoms that are heavenly and lower astral planes that are hellish. So guess you could call them heaven and hell. You sure can.
Could we end up going to hell? I mean, do you buy that if you live a life like you're not supposed to, that you could end up spending eternity? I guess not, because you'd come back as somebody else. Interesting. Do you actually go to hell, or do you come back as another person?
We all go where our mind takes us. So you cannot go to, you cannot be in a place that you do not accept or understand. So yeah, definitely when you pass from this life, and depending on where your interests are, you could end up in an astral plane that is lower than this world. Or you could end up consciously in another part of the universe. You could be in a higher astral plane, trying to be progressive. So it's up to you. It's up to you whether you are progressively spiritually minded or if you're regressive. So taste of your own medicine after you pass. Absolutely.
So is there a specific place with flames and really, really hot called hell that you will go to? Or is hell just sort of like a generic term for a lower lifestyle?
In spiritual dimensions, your universe is what your mind conceives.
Okay.
So if you conceive flames, if you conceive lava or you know all this stuff, if that's what you conceive, that's what you could have. I have had experiences where I have been in the higher astral planes, and I have seen things, and when I have been called to attention that there's something else there, and I attune to it, then I see it. So the mind in these astral locations attune to or observe or are conscious of certain things based on what they're able to conceive and what they have in their mind. So the mind is creative. So you can end up creating your own hell very easily just because that's what you think.
The power of the mind.
Exactly.
New question, separate question. Is there a God or other supreme being?
You know, infinite creative intelligence. It's a very difficult thing to conceive for us. But that's what we call God. I have come to know that God is not a man or some sort of a Zeus-like being. But all things seen, unseen, conceived, unconceived, infinite and impossible to describe. Since God is energy, and I and my thoughts are energy, aren't I composed of God? God expresses through me, and every atom, pulse, and thought. So what part of me is not God? We should give that some thought. We like to think that God is out there, separate from me. He created this stuff, left it alone. No. Everything, including the letter Beit in Hebrew. That letter signifies the footstool of creation, which came from God himself, and God occupies. And even though God has all of this creation under him and with him and by him, he prefers to live in the temple of our souls, to progress us and to give us that intelligent spark so that we join with him. That is the beauty of the understanding of the Hebrew alphabet. And just reading and understanding the Hebrew alphabet gives us such a wonderful outlook of what God's teachings are. It's just phenomenal, beautiful, beautiful to understand that.
I don't mean to oversimplify this, but we had a guest, a lady who's written a book on being a disciple. And the basis of what she was saying, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it here, is we're missing out by not going back to that Hebrew, that Jewish base that you were talking about. It's all there, and we've lost that, as she's calling it, westernization of religion.
Yes.
That's a broad concept that I'm throwing out there, but is there validity to that, do you feel?
There is. There is so much beauty in the word, in the inspiration that moved these ancient writers, which has been lost to date. There is a lot of truth in what they wrote and how they wrote it. But, gosh, Rick, there's so much lost. It's really saddening to think that people oversee that they don't want to look at it. It's the real writing. It's the real word. Why not look at it? Once you read it, you're just going to be in complete you're gonna see, I was shown this, I was taught this, but this is really what it means. What a difference. Wow. Now I feel that I'm really alive. Now I really feel that I'm living for the first time in my life. And the more you read, the more you understand, the more you say, boy, I thought I knew everything. I am starting from scratch. This is so wonderful, so beautiful, so expansive. So godly, so humbling. That, people, that is what we're missing. We have to get back to the source. And even from that source, go beyond, because there are so many things that were written on the side that are so phenomenally scientific, it boggles the mind.
So we're better off getting the original word rather than something that's been interpreted 5,723 times and diluted through the years. Yeah.
Yes. It's and again, I respect all beliefs. I respect how what people choose, what people love and don't love. Like I said, your mind makes your existence. So if this is not for you, well, absolutely. I'm not here to convert anyone. That is against spiritual law. But I am here to represent what God, what the infinite, what the creative mind has inspired me with and proven to me over the years. It was no accident, Rick, that I saw the things that I did. I needed a push, because if anybody was thick-minded, you're listening to him. And I've had to change. I've been humbled, Rick, so many times. And I guess what really helped me was my introduction to music. I'm a very inspirational person. I love music. When I am playing the piano sometimes, I cry. I'm very sentimental. So when I see God expressing to nature in his laws working in the heart, it can't help but feel that sensitivity, feel that emotion of just what love is. It's such a wonderful creation, such a loving creation. I still have no idea what God is, but what little I am able to see, it makes me fall in love with all of creation, with him, with everyone around me. And that's why I cannot be insulted, because I live constantly in love with love itself.
All of
nothing else matters.
The principles that you talk about so eloquently here on the program, you'll find in Legacy. It is the principles we're talking about in a very entertaining form, a science fiction format type of genre, as we were talking about earlier. Legacy, the books are now available. You'll find them at Amazon, at Robert's website, rgaetan, GAETAN.com. Time moving quickly. Get a couple more questions in here. This one is interesting, and I've thought of this as we discussed this. Is a near-death experience similar to a visit?
Well, it can be. I've had two NDEs where I honestly didn't make it into the light tunnel. But in visions, I did cross the tunnel and came to different planes of existence. And those were actual visits. So I guess in an NDE or a near-death experience, you're actually bolted out of your physical conscious environment and you go somewhere. But in a vision, you're not forced out. You're actually transferred. So they're similar. Yes, they are similar, but not the same thing.
When you hear people that have had the near-death experience, many say it changed their lives. Was that the intent of the near-death experience?
Well, not always. Not always. A death experience is not necessarily planned, but it can teach you a lot of things. They sure taught me a lot. It was perhaps one of the things that confirmed many of the other experiences I had seen. I mean, looking at in my NDEs, looking at beings that were flames, literally looked like flames, and be able to experience that, experience their intelligence, their benign nature. During those experiences, I was brought back to my other visions where I sensed the same thing. So there can be a lot of lessons learned from that, indeed.
Robert Maxim with us on This Week in America. Our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can go to either of our websites and fill in the comment section, email. It'll come back to us, and we'll take your question on one of our programs. What is the difference between reincarnation and resurrection? Haven't had that before. That's interesting.
That's a good question.
Those terms out there. What is the difference?
Well, resurrection means coming back alive in the same body for the most part, or taking possession of someone else's body, like an astral force. Reincarnation is the legitimate assumption of a new body.
Okay.
That your higher self helps you build from the ovum all the way up. So you and only you can inhabit and experience this dimensional plane, much like the movie Avatar, where this guy's mind was put into that blue person, and something similar to that. Although, by the same token, sometimes we allow other astral forces to come and take over our body, and we call that possession. But that's because we allow it.
So you have been reincarnated, but you've not been resurrected. That there is a difference.
There's a difference. Although when I had my 8 NDEs and I came back, I was literally dead. So that counts as a resurrection.
Now, that's interesting, because you would put that in the resurrection category. So you could have been reincarnated and resurrected over the course of time. That's interesting. We thank the listener for that question. What are your thoughts? It is, and it gets into the two, and sometimes people will interchange those terms. What are your thoughts on spiritism? Do you believe the spirit evolves through incarnations?
If I remember right, spiritism is 19th century Christian philosophy, and I'm trying to remember Allan Kardec. Allan Kardec teaches reincarnation after death. Some associate spiritism with witchcraft, for example, voodoo, spirit manifestations or contact. I don't get into these lower forms of expression at all, but I follow instead the mission that the higher self assigned, and that is to ask nothing of no one and give everything to everyone else, such as the mastery pathway is spiritual evolution to incarnations. So spiritism is actually teaching that there is reincarnation after death. You go up, then you come down, go up and come down. But what's important is to remember not to invite any other force into that reincarnation process except yourself, and keep your mind on the fact that this is evolutionary. That was not really made that clear in spiritism.
Couple minutes left in the program. I want to get to a couple more questions here, and I think we'll be able to. Does the way a person live their lives determine their next existence? Do they get a better existence if good, or, for example, come back as an animal if bad? A couple of elements to that. I'll let you jump in.
Sometimes I walk down the street and I see people that, instead of being in a body, they should be in an animal body.
Yes.
like I said before, where your mind resides, so you are.
Exactly.
Intelligence is not retroactive, because energy cannot be destroyed. Just like you learn calculus and can't forget it overnight, eventually you could, but not all of it, you can't discard intelligence and de-evolve into an animal in a snap. You have to do a lot of backwardness to evolve, say, into a lower human form. But it'd be tough getting there. I mean, you really have to want to destroy yourself.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because you're saying it is possible, it's achievable, but you really have to work at it to come back in lower human form.
Yeah, and going from human to dog, I just don't really see that happening.
Exactly. Okay. I think you've answered that question, and we'll close with this. And this should be simple, and it's something I hear so often and see in many of the questions. Is the cycle of rebirth endless? Are we on a loop where we reincarnate over and over again?
Seems that way, but not really. We are reborn to evolve our lower nature in this and other worlds, and then continue existence in spiritual realms. So it's up to each of us how long we want to be down here. And like I was told back in Atlantis, this is back, guys, like about 24,000 years ago, I document this in Legacy, by the way, in a very heated way because I was very stubborn. I should have left this planet a long time ago, but I just keep coming back because I failed to really work at myself, see myself, work at it, and start doing progressive things. Stop being selfish, for example. So for me, I've been on this planet for over 127,000 years, and it's all of my doing. This time around, I've done my time. I hope so. If not, then I guess I'm still coming back until I hit the nail.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time. Interesting question. In fact, interesting answer. A lot of interesting questions on the program today. Very simple to get in touch with us. Robert's website is Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M. His website is rgaetan, GAETAN.com. It's the Legacy Series. Information available on his website, also at Amazon.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to Robert's website. He will be back with us in a couple of weeks, and we will be continuing to take questions. Got a bunch more here, and we'd love to have yours. Go to his website, go to our website, place there for comments. Just plug in your question, get it to us. If you'd like to talk with Robert, we'll pass along that message to him as well. Robert, a fascinating program today. A lot of great information out there. And I know you're always sort of drained after we get done picking your mind here and getting answers to these questions. So excellent job. Thank you so much for being with us once again.
My pleasure and blessings to everyone.
And we will have Robert back very soon. And again, keep your questions coming. ThisWeekInAmerica.us, Robert's website, rgaetan, GAETAN.com. Information also at UnarianSUnited.com. You're listening to This Week in America online, as I say, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.